AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The first 3 days, it's Pebble Beach, it's Spyglass, it's Monterey Peninsula. All three are right next to each other. If you ever get a chance, go up to Pebble Beach. Amazing bit of property. But all three golf courses really short this week. It's second shot golf. It's old school golf. So I'm looking at probably accuracy off the tee strokes going on approach and always factor in a bit of scrambling. It's not the strongest field we're going to get on the tour. A lot of the big names are like, well, I don't really like playing with an amateur in my group right. The first 3 days before we do a cut. It is a little distracting. You know, these big corporates tee it up and they're like, well, what do I do with my 60-degree wedge? I can't fix my slice. And for the PGA Tour golfers, they're like, no, get me out of here. But we do have some big names. Matty Fitzpatrick, Victor Hovland returning to the PGA Tour this week. If you're sponsored by AT&T, yes, you have to show up to this one. Jordan Spieth, absolute monster at this tournament. If you're big on course history, Spieth is always going to be in the mix. And you will hear a lot of chatter this week, as I'm sure you gentlemen are aware. Maverick McNealy, who's had two top fives out of four starts, grew up playing Pebble Beach from sun up to sundown. Yeah. He knows this course inside out, and he's still looking for that breakthrough win.
Yeah, I did visit Pebble Beach.
This tends to be a golf course where guys who have played well there before play there well again. Tom Hoagie, who we're going to take a look at here on our graphic sheet, told me on my podcast 4 years ago, my favorite golf course on earth. I love it. It's the only course I ever want to play. He won the event the next year. Same thing for Spieth. Dustin Johnson, back when he was on the PGA Tour, used to just like tear this place to shreds. And I think Dubs really hit the number one nail on the head. All three of these courses are short. And what is like the number one thing about coastal golf courses? If there's no wind, if there's no weather, there's no trees to protect you, right? It's just not the way these courses are built. So if the weather is fine, I mean, we're going to see some super, super low scores this weekend, Craig.
All right. Well, is Bill Murray playing in this thing this weekend? Isn't this the big Bill Murray?
Of course. Yeah. The headliners on the celebrity side, we'll see Aaron Rodgers, we'll see Josh Allen, Gareth Bale, soccer player. He's going to be in the mix, absolutely obsessed with golf. And Bill Murray, you know, one of the mainstays of this Pro-Am event. So it'll be a bit of fun, and hopefully the golfers can have a bit of fun there as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can have some fun here, both on the daily fantasy side and the betting side. Dubs all week long here. On the grid, of course, talking betting on golf. Let's look at the pricing over this week in terms of daily fantasy. Now, the big names, a lot of them, as Dubs just mentioned, are not in this tournament. So the highest priced player this week in the Pro-Am is Jordan Spieth at 11,900, Matt Fitzpatrick at 11,800, Victor Hovland at 11,700, Tom Hoagie 11,400, Seamus Power 11,200, and the hot name in golf at the moment, Dubs, is indeed Maverick McNealy. It just feels like not if, but when he's going to win one of these big tournaments coming up. So how do you see the pricing here this week?
Yeah, I agree with all those numbers. And, you know, for Maverick McNealy, you've got a question. Is it going to help him, you know, playing on that home course? Or is it extra pressure? You know, the family and friends, they're all asking for tickets. They're going to be out there alongside the ropes. So, look, trying to get that breakthrough win for Mav, I'm not going to have him in my lineups because he will be heavily owned, the same as Jordan Spieth. Out of that list there, I'm interested to see Matty Fitzpatrick, how he does at this event. These are three golf courses made for US Open champion. He's got the short game to match. He's got that shot making when the wind does get up. But a name who Davis mentioned, Tom Hoagie. I think he's got a very good chance of going back to back. The key stat we're looking at this week, strokes gained on approach, he's got to be at the top of your list on the PGA Tour this season, last season. If it gets windy, the ball strikers, they're fine in the middle of the club face, less spin coming on that ball. So I think Tom Hoagie, out of the top tier players, is one you've certainly got to entertain. A couple of more I'll throw there on the list. Andrew Putnam, who's had some really good form. The shorter golf courses really factor in. You look at the stats for a guy like Andrew Putnam, 200th in driving distance, but 35th in driving accuracy. Horses for courses, I'd be looking at a guy like Andrew Putnam and Denny McCarthy, one of the best putters on the PGA Tour as well.
Well, I always love a Denny McPutt shout. I mean, obviously, he's never Denny McCarthy. He's never winning at Torrey Pines. He's never winning at any of these 7,600 yard golf courses. But 6,800 yards, 7,200 yards, pretty well within his range. Because pretty much the like an 18 footer is like an 8 footer for a normal guy. I definitely agree with Dubs. I mean, Matthew Fitzpatrick looks like this course is pretty much built for. I mean, same deal for Fitzpatrick, right? Guy's probably never going to win at Augusta. Honestly, probably never going to win an Open Championship, right? Just really is not able to score on par fours the same way that Rory and Rahm and Scottie Scheffler and all these guys are. But when you got to hit it perfect, when you got to, you can't leave it short, you can't leave it long, you got 4 feet to work with on the green, like Fitzpatrick, probably one of the best in the world at those shots. So I really like him here. Not on Victor Hovland at all. This is like the opposite of what he does well. I mean, he'll say it, right? He comes out in these interviews and he's like, look, dude, I suck at chipping. I can't do it. So I'm going against him there. Pretty much agree with everything Dub said. Two guys I like here, Joseph Bramlett. He is, you know, just kind of been grinding on the fringes of the tour, sort of one of those guys you expect to get a win at some course. You know, Craig and I were going to be back here doing the Century Tournament of Champions preview a year from now, and be like, what event did Joseph Bramlett win? Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. He went off at 80-1 and ended up winning their top 50 the last 2 years in cumulative in strokes gained tee to green. And then very quietly, a South African, I know Dubs loves his South Africans, Dean Burmeester, this year through four events on tour, top 10 in strokes gained tee to green, pretty incredible. I mean, he started the last couple events, both of Thursdays of the last two events here on the West Coast Swing. He's been 5 under par or better, so starting pretty hot on the Thursdays. But you got to think maybe the pro-am stuff is for someone who's not truly top end. Maybe it's a little bit less annoying for them. You know, maybe Dean Burmeester doesn't mind. You know, being like, hey, this is what you should do with your 60-degree there, bud.
Yeah. And look, he's one of the best drivers in the business. And Davis, to that point, it is a good week for the first-time winner because the cut's going to be done after 54 holes and suddenly you're like, oh, I'm in contention at a PGA Tour event, but it feels more like an off-season meet and greet with the sponsors. So I think it definitely helps someone like a Dean Burmeester. I was big on him there last week. I've got another South African. And look, the internationals, they grow up playing this coastal line golf. So the tougher the conditions, it suits. I don't mind Gary Kegel as well as a bit of a bomb play. He was terribly out of form to finish off last year, but the last two starts looks like he's found something. And two more flyers I'll throw in there. You'll probably laugh at one of these, Davis. I hope you don't laugh at both of them. Matty Naismith, he's at 85-1 at the books. Decent number, two top 20s here from three starts. When we look at iron play, he's probably going to be top three amongst this field this week, strokes gained on approach. And Aaron Dresses Badly, 210-1. He is going to be one of your lower tier options, but I like what I've seen the last couple of starts. Bads is turning it back to when he was 21, 22 years of age. He was meant to be the next big thing in golf. Just a couple of value plays you want to throw in the lineups this week.
All right. Yeah, great.
No
stuff.
Problem. Frank. No problem with either of those.
All right. There you go. More coming up in golf later in the week. Thanks again, Dubs, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Good luck this week.
Hey, let's cash some tickets, gentlemen. Have a good week.
All right, Dubs Anderson with us and Davis and me talking some golf here on the show. Pebble Beach Pro-Am coming up this week. Coming up next year on the show, we dive back into the NFBC ADP, the National Fantasy Baseball Championship average draft position for upcoming fantasy baseball drafts. We'll have that for you next right here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with that. Where do you take the players in the upcoming fantasy baseball draft? You're going to have to make those decisions soon. I'll be out with that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. And Davis, it is almost fantasy baseball season. We have less than 2 weeks until pitchers and catchers report to spring training and they get on the field. And then, you know, certainly a lot of the World Baseball Classic guys are, you know, having to report. And you and I have been doing this deeper dive into the NFBC average draft position on some players, new players in new locations in the offseason. So not a ton of news. I didn't see any signings over the last 24 hours. I know your guy, Zach Greinke, back in Kansas City. That's the only one that I noticed.
Which is, I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe this new GM, the news, maybe they want to try and win 80 games this year or whatever, and they talk Greinke back into that. I mean, no harm, no foul. Let Greinke rack up some more counting stats. Maybe he's got some milestone he's about to pass this year, but probably not a guy we are going to be using in our DFS Major League Baseball segments too many times this year.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, so let's dive in right now and take a look at the change in location for Jesse Winker, who is now with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was involved in the trade for Colton Wong that happened early in the offseason. And you may remember, Davis, Jesse Winker on Cincinnati was a force. Cincinnati, you know, let him go, goes to Seattle, not a force any longer, and they let him go too. His ADP, as you can see, has moved all the way down this year. It is 287.28, maximum pick around 360, minimum 191 on Jesse Winker. Now, he'll have more of an opportunity to play, and Davis, Milwaukee has resurrected a lot of careers, just like Cincinnati in Major League Baseball. Do you think this resurrects Winker as a member of the Brewers? Because it did not work out with him in Seattle, that's to, you know, say the least.
No, it didn't, which, I mean, I guess, you know, Seattle, not a hitter-friendly ballpark. A lot of the teams they play in that division against. I believe, actually, the AL West is the least hitter-friendly. If you add up all five of the parks in there, I believe it is the least hitter-friendly division. So maybe you give him a little bit of a pass for that. I suppose your general concern with Jesse Winker would be, dude, he just struck out like a billion times last year. 456 at-bats, 103 strikeouts. That is a way worse ratio than the rest of his career. Generally, when you see that sort of decline in plate discipline, it's either indicative of an injury or indicative of skill decline. Now, Jesse Winker could have been hurt. He could have just been trying something different at the plate, right? He could have just gone to Seattle and they could have been saying, hey, instead of doing this thing you've done every plate appearance for the last 19 years of your life, why don't you try to do this? And it just didn't necessarily work. Winker has had, you know, really good fantasy baseball seasons before relative to his cost. 2019, 338 plate appearances, 16 home runs. That's pretty solid. And Winker has generally been like pretty cheap in a lot of these drafts. It's just how many outfielders are there in fantasy baseball who you go, all right, well, if he plays every day and I like the cost, he could hit 22 home runs. Like, I don't know. I could probably tell myself that story about like 57 outfielders in Major League Baseball. And Winker has no speed upside, no real batting average upside other than the 1 year in Cincinnati. He did hit 305 in 2021. But, I mean, he is cheap, and I don't hate taking him as a bench outfielder, but not a guy I'm, like, going into my drafts being like, this is a good late-round target.
And Milwaukee also has a lot of right-handed hitting guys that play the outfield off the bench. I could see him in a platoon this year, and then, you know, no at-bats against left-handed pitching could happen for Winker this year. We will see if he's back to what he was 2 years ago or where he was last year in Seattle, which wasn't very good. All right, first free agent of the offseason signed quickly. It was Tyler Anderson of the Los Angeles Angels. And Davis, talk about resurrecting a career. I mean, it's funny. Noah Syndergaard went from the Angels. Well, he went to Philly, but he went from the Angels to the Dodgers to say, hey, do for me what you did to Tyler Anderson, because everybody in LA pitches well. And as you can see, drafters are not bullish on him. 274 is his ADP. He's gone as low as under the 200s. And he's also been, you know, gone a lot higher than that, Davis. So not a lot of confidence that switching from one place in Los Angeles to Anaheim is really going to do a lot for him. Now, the Angels needed pitching. They got it with him. But how successful do you think that he will be this year?
I mean, this feels pretty tough, right? You are going from basically what I would consider to be just year over year the best team in baseball. You know, Astros fans might disagree or whatever, but the Dodgers have every resource imaginable. They have a really good coaching staff. They have like a long history of bringing in these guys who were lacking in one skill set, lacking in one thing or another, adding that to their repertoire. I mean, as you just said with Thor, right? He's like, I would very much like for you to do that for me. Tyler Anderson, probably the exact type of guy I am just not going to be drafting. His cost is negligible. You know, you're looking at with a min of 182, you're looking at probably at worst, you have to take him with like a 16th, 17th, 18th round pick. But again, that sounds late because we kind of have fantasy football brain. I mean, you like need your 16th round pick in the NFBC. These are huge rosters. These are huge starting lineups. Like you kind of need that guy to provide some statistics for your team. And I tend to think that the steamer projection on him looks pretty right. 4.5 ERA, 10 wins, you know, not particularly great ratios. Although the one thing I would say for him is he doesn't walk anybody. That's probably the best thing about his game. So he's going to help your whip. You know, the bat has him for a 4.3 ERA, not a ton of strikeouts. This will probably be a pass for me. When, you know, I'm looking at these later round guys, I either want a Tyler Anderson quality starter on a team that I think could win 100 games, right? If everything works properly for them. I don't think, you know, the Angels, man. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to win 100 games. Or a guy who's got loads of strikeout upside, and I don't think Tyler Anderson has that either.
Yeah, for the first time, Davis not bullish on the Angels here on the show going into a season. It's stunning.
Heartbroken.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Okay, so now finally this one is a complete wild card going into the baseball season because this player didn't play all of last year. That is Michael Conforto, formerly of the Mets, now of the San Francisco Giants. Most people feel like he was the consolation prize to not getting Aaron Judge. I don't know, Davis, that the Giants sign Michael Conforto if Aaron Judge ended up signing in San Francisco. But, I mean, certainly his ADP is way above Jesse Winker, you know, if you want to compare the two. And both left-handed hitters, I mean, he's being drafted a few rounds earlier based on what? I'm not sure. Now, the good news for Conforto, Davis, is that he gets some games in Coors, so that will help him, goes to the National League West. Tough matchups for sure, though, against San Diego, no question. Good ballpark to play in Arizona as well, but we just haven't seen him in a couple of years. And by the way, when we did see him 2 years ago, his skills were deteriorating a little bit. He did get a big contract, though, from the Giants, so was that just leftover money that they had? Or do they genuinely believe in the player? Typically, his park in particular, Davis, is not really conducive to succeeding. And the other thing that we know about the manager in San Francisco is this guy is not afraid to sit his best guys 2-3 days a week. This is a strict matchups guy in Gabe Kapler for sure. It's been successful for him. What do you make of Conforto?
Well, I mean, look, this is producer Brett Levy knowing his host because he knows I have a long deal with Michael Conforto. I always kind of thought he would sort of be the next great Mets outfielder. He never really got there. I mean, his best season was the 2019 season and you know, everyone had a good season in 2019, right? 33 home runs, 260 batting average, walked a bunch. It was his best walk season of his career, even stole a couple bases. I mean, honestly, in 2020, he wasn't horrible. He had a 420 OBP, only 200 plate appearances. And then it just, I mean, it all kind of came crashing down for him last season. Like, couldn't hit, was striking out, couldn't get the ball over the fence, wasn't playing every day. The huge, huge thing with him is he has just continually been nicked up. Feels like anytime he gets a little bit of positive momentum. I mean, he's never had, he's only had over 400 plate appearances twice in his career. That's not a very good, it's not a very good track record when you are Michael Conforto's age. Now, the projections are more bullish on him than I imagined. No one is buying him being a 260 hitter anymore. I think probably because of his launch angle stuff sort of changed up a little bit last season. But all the projections systems think he'll be about 20 home runs, about a 250 batting average. And at that point, it just becomes, well, are the Giants going to be a good offense that generates a lot of extra RBIs and runs, sort of the way Giants teams just randomly are? Or is it going to be the Giants team from last year that is real scrappy, has good pitching, but every single night you load up the FanDuel Sportsbook and their team total is 3.5, and it's a real struggle to get to 4. He's very, very cheap, right? We're talking like probably your 7th outfielder on a lot of teams. He seems fine. Again, not a guy I'm like doing jumping jacks or draft, but a guy I am predisposed to sort of liking, so I probably will nab him late a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that Davis, there's not a lot of track record for taking a guy who missed the entire season the year before that in fantasy baseball. Like, it's, generally speaking, you just don't know what a guy is going to be. There were some rumors that he was going to sign late last year. He didn't. I believe he had a setback at some point working out too last year, but naturally the Giants needed to get some offense in the offseason. And when they didn't land Aaron Judge, they pivoted over to Michael Conforto. We'll see if his ADP jumps into the top 200 by the time spring training starts. He's actually a player that I think in the Cactus League, I'd like to see play a little bit before making a decision on whether or not to take him. A rare player where I think spring training could matter. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here on FST. Coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality, and then it's the Sports Grid 60. Stay on the grid with us. We've got plenty more to come here on the show, here on this Tuesday, as we take you all the way up until the top of the hour, and then the early line takes over. So stay with us here on FST. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, and we're back right after these messages. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Davis, before we get to fantasy or reality, there are a couple of things I want to let people know. First of all, you could follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information from our betting shows, Picks Against the Spread, and our live coverage from the Super Bowl in Glendale starting next week. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. That's at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. On social media, the stories are percolating. Davis, it sure does seem like the Houston Texans are going to hire D'Amico Ryans, a defensive coordinator in San Francisco. I don't know that that's a fact right now at this point, Davis, because it hasn't been like fully reported, but the rumors are going on out there. Ryans has done a really good job, no question. And the last guy who was defensive coordinator for the 49ers, if I'm not mistaken, he's the head coach of the Jets. So I guess a good job to get a head coaching gig.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 49ers have a bunch of great defensive players. You're working with a really good offensive coach with Kyle Shanahan, so you're gonna be playing with the lead a lot. Feels like a pretty good job opening. And just nothing funnier to me really than in 2023 D'Amico Ryans is telling the Denver Broncos ownership group, that's good, I'm gonna go work for the Texans, I'm gonna go work for this team that's been crap forever, always gonna be crap, but gonna get a quarterback this year. The defense, the play. All you can say about the Texans, they played real hard last year. Although, sort of interesting, I mean, the Denver Broncos defense, we could say a lot of things about Nathaniel Hackett and the offense and everything, the defense was absolutely phenomenal, and they have a lot of great players. Patrick Surtain, a lot of those edge rushers are really good. I mean, they did trade away Bradley Chubb because they needed to figure out some way to try and save some of their future cap type stuff. But, I mean, it's just I whoever gets hired in Denver, and I think we saw this with the Sean Payton stuff too, it's like a coach who's like 60 and has all these qualifications, they don't want to come in and be like, all right, your job is to fix Russell Wilson, because the Broncos have no resources. They're all capped out. You know, they're spending all this money. They don't have any of their first round picks. And I think a lot of these new up and coming coordinators, you know, Kellen Moore and a lot of these guys, they don't want this to be their first head coaching job either. Because look what just happened to Nathaniel Hackett. He made it 15 That's games. Right. He got fired. The team was terrible. Nathaniel Hackett is going to be 10 years probably before he gets to be a head coach because of how bad that experience went in Denver. So I think you're looking at like a 1 year Lovie Smith, you know, a guy who's done it before, Jim Caldwell, a guy who doesn't mind winning four games or whatever this year. Like, I think that's really their only option.
Yeah, it's sad too, because if you think about it, I mean, the defense, Davis, was Vic Fangio's defense. So, yeah, some good players were there, but this was basically his defense from the last 3 years that carried over. And I honestly think that if Sean Payton was going to take the Broncos job, Davis, he probably should have taken it already. Like, I don't think he's going to take the job either. So I don't know. You may be right. I don't know what they're going to do. All right. Time now to dive into some fantasy or reality. Well, let's be real. The NBA teams have losing streaks. It happens all the time. It's nothing to panic about. I think, you know, the Warriors had lost four or five in a row at one point this season. You know, Brooklyn lost a bunch in a row, then they won a bunch in a row. So there's really no panicking. But boy, all those good feelings about the New Orleans Pelicans, Davis, at the beginning of the season, those are gone. They have now lost eight straight games in the NBA, and they're up against it tonight playing the Denver Nuggets. They're on the road at Denver. Boy, I mean, everyone's talking about, hey, maybe the Pelicans are a top three seed in the West. I don't know that that's going to be the case, that's for sure. Fantasy or reality, Pelicans losing streak ends tonight?
No, fantasy. And to be honest, I am panicking if I'm the Pelicans, because this was setting, well, panicking is such a relative term, but it was 16 games ago, the New Orleans Pelicans were tied for the one seed in the Western Conference. It was Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. We're going to be buyers at the deadline. We're going to buy a shooter. We're going to buy a backup center so Zion doesn't have to play any center in the playoffs. You know, Jonas Valanciunas can get his 28 minutes a night. And now it's like, well, I mean, it's sort of this interesting thing that happens in the NBA when you go from being a bad team to a team that has expectations, is generally speaking, you'll have a lot of guys who are adequate players who other NBA teams would like to have, because you've had so many draft picks. You've had a chance to kind of cull your roster. What I think we're going to see this with Oklahoma City next year. Oklahoma City only has 15 roster spots, but they have 20 guys under contract who they would actually like to keep. Same deal with the Pelicans. You know, Najee Marshall, Herb Jones, Dyson Daniels. A lot of these guys Najee Marshall would be a pretty good fit on the Denver Nuggets, for example. You know, just kind of a wing guy who can defend. The Nuggets are going to win tonight, and they're going to win by a lot. But it's just sort of unfortunate, because Zion and Ingram, really the only two guys. Well, I guess McCollum is a great player, but it's very hard to win when CJ McCollum is your best player. But I got fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, 5.5-point favorites. I mean, I suppose anything could happen in the NBA, but I don't know. I don't think this losing streak is going to end anytime soon. And listen, I don't follow the NBA as close as you do or some others, but it, you know, 2 weeks ago, people were talking about, as you just talked about, hey, maybe New Orleans is the biggest, adder at the trade deadline. And now, what do you even do? Like, I don't know. But yeah, I got fantasy tonight. The Joker takes care of business. Denver wins, I think, this game. All right, Brock Purdy, according to ESPN yesterday, will have surgery, to repair a torn ulnar collateral ligament, which in baseball terms is called Tommy John surgery. And usually players with that are pitchers, Davis, they end up missing a full year of time. And then they come back and they're still not even 100% at that point. Bryce Harper had this, Davis. The estimate for Bryce Harper was about a 6-month return to field. which means he's missing all of April and May, Davis, is Bryce Harper. And also when he comes back, he's going to have to DH. So the timetable for Brock Purdy is still a little bit unclear, but he is a quarterback that uses his arm to throw. If he has surgery in February, that would absolutely put him out all of March, April, May, June, and July, probably even into August as well. So he ain't playing at all in the preseason. This would have to be an injured reserve to start the season, or at the very least, get in for the final preseason game and then get ready to start. Boy, is he up against it. Fantasy or reality, Brock Purdy will be the starting quarterback of week one in the NFL. He does have time, according to this timeline, to get back and be ready, but he faces a lot of obstacles.
Yeah, I mean, I think the odds of this had, I'll say this, had Brock Purdy not gotten injured and had the San Francisco 49ers pulled it out against the Eagles team, which I did not think was going to happen anyways, but again, we're entering into a hypothetical universe here in which Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt against the Eagles, they win that game, and then they lose in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs or the Bengals. I think Purdy was a marginal favorite to start next season anyways, over Trey Lance, over... I think if Purdy doesn't get hurt, there's no chance that Jimmy Garoppolo returns as a free agent to the 49ers, right? No chance. He's done with it. It's time to move on. Now that Purdy might not be ready, again, maybe the 49ers for the third year in a row give him... Jimmy made good money this year because of the incentives that he hit, right? But he could obviously make more money as a free agent. Of course, there's rumors of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers famously grew up being a 49ers fan, save for Brady, Derek Carr, you know, whatever. I think a lot of these guys, there's going to be a lot of quarterback offseason movement. But I'm sticking to what I've said the entire time. They traded three freaking first-round picks for Trey Lance. Trey Lance is still... It seems like I would be making this up. It seems like it couldn't possibly be true. Trey Lance is the youngest quarterback in the NFL still right now, today, Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. He is the youngest quarterback who threw a pass in the NFL this year. I think week one, and if Lance is bad this year, if we get a month of Lance and he stinks, can't complete a pass, you know, gets banged up again, whatever, that's it, right? The Lance experiment will be done. But I do think week one, Lance is going to be under center.
Yeah. You know, we actually saw this differently, you and I. I thought that even with a loss, I thought Brock Purdy would be the starter for the 49ers next season. I just hadn't seen enough from Trey Lance. And I thought that maybe because he's a free agent, Jimmy would have left to go somewhere else. Yeah, there's no possible way that I could think that now. If you asked me the question, Brock Purdy will start for the 49ers next season at some point, it would have been a reality for me. Because I just, what have I seen from Trey Lance to make me believe that he can be the guy? I can't believe that. Yeah. So week one just seems too soon. And just based on this injury, I don't know how the expectation could potentially be for him to start, unless I'm totally missing something. You know, with the UCL, depending on the kind of surgery that he has, I didn't hear anything about like injecting platelets or whatever like that to, you know, keep this thing going. It sounds like a surgery, which means 6 to 8 months, which means he misses all of training camp, all of preseason, and goes into the season. So no way. He's not going to start week one of next season. By the way, Tom Brady's still rumored to go to San Francisco, for what it's worth. Who even knows if that happens, but we'll see.
Right.
Okay. So the one of the top shows on HBO and streaming is, of course, White Lotus. Very popular show. Everybody's watched the first season, second season for sure. Michael Imperioli has been on this show. He's one of the main actors on this program. And, of course, previous to this, and this goes back a while, Michael Imperioli was one of the main characters also on arguably one of the most popular television series of all time, The Sopranos. But these two series, Davis, ironically, are so far apart from one another. I think The Sopranos, if I'm not mistaken, ended like 15 years ago. It's been a long time. Fantasy or reality? More people know Michael Imperioli from the show White Lotus than from The Sopranos. And there's a meme going on. I guess he showed up at a basketball game, if I'm not mistaken, and they said, "Hey, this is the White Lotus is Michael Imperioli," which got people talking and, you know, people arguing. So it is a pretty good debate, I think. Fantasy or reality?
Man, I hate to do this. I hate to do this to Craig. I hate to do this to our listeners on radio and our viewers on television. This is a stone cold reality, man. It's just, it is the inescapable nature of time. The Sopranos premiered on January 10th, 1999. That is over 20 years ago. It did end over 15 years ago. More people walking around this planet Earth today have seen White Lotus than have seen The Sopranos. It's just the way the math works out. It is a reality. It's a shame because The Sopranos, I mean, truly one of the all... it's not a shame because The White Lotus is... It's not The Sopranos. It doesn't have the same cultural relevance, but it is also a great show. It's not like being known for, like, The Masked Singer or Jurassic Park, Dominion, right, or whatever. You know, it's still great, but it is a reality.
Yeah, no way, no way, no chance. There's no way I can't do it. Listen, I lived The Sopranos. I was on every Sunday night. I remember watching this. I think Sex and the City was on maybe before. And so, like, some people would watch that. I would skip it, wait for the... I mean, this was a cultural phenomenon. Before there was Game of Thrones and before there was Curb Your Enthusiasm, there was The Sopranos. That started Sunday night along with The Wire on HBO. So, yeah, I am not doing this. I'm absolutely going with Fantasy, Michael Imperioli, known as Christopher from The Sopranos, no doubt. All right, we got to take one more time out here on the show. Coming up next, it is time for the Sports Grid 60. So we invite you to stay with us because we'll be back after brief messages to wrap things up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Davis and I will be right back here with you tomorrow morning. We'll take a look at some more average draft position in the NFBC. Fantasy baseball season is coming here on Sports Grid, folks. Get ready. Let's turn it over to Davis. Here's today's Sports Grid 60.
All right, I actually got a good one today. If you are listening, watching this show, and you are ever one of these people that has demanded FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, any of our presenting sponsors here on the network, void your ticket because your player got injured, let me tell you, please grow up. I know the books have created a bad precedent by doing this to begin with. Oh, Luka got injured in the first quarter. We're going to void. We'll refund all your same game parlays that have a Luka Doncic. No, the books should not do this. They should have never done it to begin with. But you, as the consumer, you cannot expect this every time you place a wager. These kids these days are too soft. We cannot be voiding wagers due to injury. It is incorrigible, man. Enough of voiding tickets for injury.
Yeah. I mean, they started it, Davis. There's like no turning back now. Everyone is always going to wonder if this is going to happen to them. All right. Our previous segment, we talked about Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos and how HBO has dominated Sunday nights with a lot of different shows, including Game of Thrones and Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sex and the City, and some others. Well, this show, The Last of Us, I think is another one. This is going to be a dominant show on HBO. They've had three episodes thus far. I think I would grade them all A+, 1 through 3. I would also say, though, that this is the first time ever for me on a Sunday night on HBO that I have not watched any of the shows live, and I have not watched any of the shows on even my home DirecTV. I've watched them on HBO Max, and I've streamed them. So it makes me think, what am I doing? Do I really need these live television anymore? First time ever I've been thinking about cutting the cord. My gosh, will I do it? I don't know. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks so much for coming on. Our producer, Davis. I'm Craig. I hope you have a great rest of your day.